Beyond the Sermon, Episode 6.
Hail! Hey, it's Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church. That's the call out for Scotty the Body Curlin, our worship and discipleship pastor.
You said that right when I took a big bite of chocolate chip cookie.
That's awesome. Oh, man. So, also sitting here with Adam.
Yeah, come up with one yet, have you?
No, I got to come up with something. Yeah.
Better than old guy.
Old guy.
Because I did beat y'all up the rock wall.
Oh, you did beat us up the rock wall, yes.
Us, man. Him and Eric just put us to shame.
Adam the climber.
Eric made us all look foolish, but...
I think he worked something out with the guy. I think the guy helped him out.
Okay. We're on the streets. He had a little bit of a head start, too. So.
He may have. Guy would say go check out the video and you'll find out what exactly happened there. So... Good deal. You guys ready for Beyond the Sermon?
We are.
Episode number...
Is it six? Is that right?
Six.
That's amazing.
That's
yes.
It.
Wow.
Awesome.
We're almost as many as Star Wars, man. We're getting there.
There we go. Yeah. That's it. That's great. That's great. So, hope you had a good week. Glad you're tuning back in with us. And we still have no response from our Canadian brethren.
Come on.
So, disappointing.
It really is. So, Canadian listeners, come on. If you're there, we will love to hear from you. But if you don't respond, we can't send you the goodies we'd like to send to you. So, Scott, how many cookies is that now, bud?
I'm working on one. check with me in about 30 minutes.
That's it. That's awesome. So, we're finishing up the goodies that were left over from our tailgate Sunday yesterday. I had a blast doing that.
Absolutely.
Great time. So there was a water fight there at the end, and I may have left wet yesterday.
Just a little bit.
Man. Just a bit, yeah.
We all did.
Yeah. But I did power drive one of the little girls that was throwing water at me in the baptismal.
That
so
great.
And it was good. So we had
a
baptism.
She only cried a little bit.
That's yeah, right. Just a little
just
bit.
A little bit.
So, there's no crying in baptism. So... Good deal. Well, we are ready for another episode, and I hope you are as well. If you did not hear the message from Sunday, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Absolutely.
Get to church.
That's good.
Get to church.
Oh, man.
You can go back on and listen to last week's message. So I would say everybody here's listened to it. However, Scott, you heard it.
I did. Now, I will say, Adam here... read my notes. So,
did he?
So he basically heard it.
So he actually, there we go.
Because he takes pretty extensive notes.
Well, he does. Yeah. I'm impressed. So.
I'm looking forward to talking about
there.
Being kicked in the pants.
That's right. That was a direct quote. That's right.
That's awesome. So I heard a guy say this one time that he made it a habit of, he was an African-American pastor, said he made it a habit of training non-minority congregations how to engage with a sermon. And so he said, you know, you can say amen if you agree with it. He said, you can do a deacon hum, you know, if it hits you real hard. And he said, now, half of his congregation is are ethnic minorities, and the other half are Presbyterians. So he understands if you
Frozen
need,
chosen,
yeah, that's exactly right. He understands if you need to amen by taking notes, and so that's where Scott is.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, good deal. We are going to talk a little bit about the sermon from this past Sunday and go behind the scenes there a little bit, and then we will talk some about the culture and. Kind of look forward to what's coming up in the next weeks ahead here at North River Church. So, Adam, stop yawning.
Sorry, man.
Man, come
just
on.
Had lunch.
That's right.
I'm worried you're skipping the sermons because you think you may fall asleep.
Possibly.
Yeah. I got you. My wife does that every once in a while. So
I wasn't going to tell you that. But
I saw Megan nodding the other day. So not in agreement, but sleeping.
Right.
Yeah.
Frozen chosen, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's good. So we finished out our series through 1 Thessalonians. We entitled it The Irresistible Church. And yesterday I mentioned that it seems like Paul's kind of throwing the kitchen sink, everything he can think of here at the end to finish out this letter to the Thessalonians. And we emphasized quite a few things. You could go in a number of different directions from the text here, but we emphasized several things. One is that an irresistible church is marked by genuine peace. It's marked by authentic concern for others. It's marked by heartfelt prayer and thanksgiving. And it's marked by increasing holiness. So those four characteristics, those four things that should make up the DNA of an irresistible church. So first one we talked about was genuine peace, and we emphasized just the reality that sometimes church can be a not very peaceful place. Mm-hmm. Ever experienced that?
Yeah. I have experienced that.
Yeah, not here.
Not here.
Certainly not here.
Hopefully not in the 14 days I've been here.
I was going to say, maybe the peace went away when you got here.
That's right.
Is that it? No? We've got a wonderful church family, and so we enjoy a lot of peaceful time together. But that's not always the case in the church, and so we emphasize just the reality that we are to be at peace with one another. The church should be a peaceful place. The peace of Christ should dwell there. I did point us even beyond just the immediate thought of our own church family, but also how we, as a united church, all believers across countries and ethnicities and things like that, how do we make sure that that the church is not divided over things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of life? And so certainly there are divisions within church lines, and certainly you've got different denominations and those things, but hopefully we all recognize what I would call the core essentials. What makes us Christians, what makes us evangelicals, what makes us believers, and we agree on those things. The secondary issues we may disagree on, but we agree on those main things. And as a result of agreeing on those things, it should bring a sense of peace. We should not be a divided church. Mm-hmm. We talked about this before on the podcast, I believe, and I think in light of the election and some of those things that we've seen transpire as a result of that, and conversations I've had with fellow pastors in different areas, there is still a pretty huge divide, even among the church here in North America, for sure, in the United States, along the lines of race and ethnicity and those things. And so I think we've got to do a better job of listening to one another, of seeking reconciliation, of standing up when injustice is present, and being able to attack those things. So I said to our church family, in full disclosure for those who may not be a part of North River Church, we are a predominantly white church. And so I want us to be careful that our whiteness doesn't cloud the truth of what the church is, which is people of every tribe, tongue, mm-hmm. Nation. And I want us to think along those lines as we think about how we interact in the culture, how we seek to make an impact. And so there are many of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the United States, a lot of them in the minority communities that exist in this country, who are hurting right now and reeling with the election results and some of those things. And I think if we're not careful, it's easy for us as a church family, predominantly white, to dismiss those things, those concerns, and not to listen well, not to hear out those concerns. And so I challenged our church yesterday to that we need to be careful that that we're not turning a deaf ear to those concerns. Mm-hmm. And we need to be willing to listen and love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ well as we walk through this. So we'll talk a little bit more about the election here in the next coming moments together. So Irresistible Church is marked by genuine peace. And then we said authentic concern for others. We should be concerned about other people. Paul emphasizes those who are hurting, those who are faint-hearted, those who are struggling, and we should be marked, I believe, as believers of caring about other people. of making certain that when people come into our church and when we interact with people in our community as believers, that we are the first to be ready to extend an encouraging word or put our arm around them and tell them that things are gonna be okay. And we need to make sure that that's who we are. I think oftentimes we can be the first ones to cast stones, to bring disunity, and yet that shouldn't be the case. We should have a genuine concern for other people. So hopefully that's what marks our church. Hopefully that's what marks the church here in America and the church around the world, of us being known for being concerned about people beyond just ourselves. Yes. People that are hurting, people that that need, that are in deep need, right. Whether that's physical or spiritual or financial or emotional or whatever those things may be. So, anything from those first two things that you guys wanted to touch on?
I was just thinking about the idea of what we're known for as a church, that the church should be known for being loving, being caring for their community, and different things, whereas, you know, fortunately, the church is known more so for what we're against.
Yeah.
I always just say that love wins. You know, if we can just love people and care for people and be genuine about wanting to know them, know their needs, provide ministry in whatever capacity we can to them, and showing them the love of Christ, that's what's going to ultimately lead them to hopefully that relationship with Christ. You know, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Mm. And that's not just love within the church family, church body, but also our love and concern for those outside the church family as well. And
yeah.
So it's important for us to show that love in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. Scott, anything that stuck out to you?
You know, I love the way
Adam's cheating off your notes.
I know, right? You know that. That's awesome. That might be the first time anyone's ever cheated off my notes. I love the way that you concluded that second point. You know, our response to others should be guided by Christ's response towards us. Mm. And it reminded me of you know, what we see in Romans chapter 5. You know, if we were enemies of God and we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? And, you know, just that Christ would do the unthinkable, the unimaginable for us, you know, separated from Him, how much more then should we show the love and the grace of Christ to others? Yeah. And I thought that was a great way to emphasize that point.
Awesome. Good deal. We talked also about an irresistible church being marked by heartfelt prayer and thanksgiving. Scott? Talked about you here, bub.
Yeah, you did.
This was good.
You made me blush a little bit.
Absolutely.
Megan elbowed me and said, now don't you cry on me.
That's great.
She knows I'm a softie.
Absolutely, man. So if you're in our church family, certainly you've met Scott. If you're not, I hope one day you get to meet Scott. Scott is a genuinely joyful person. Jovial.
Jovial.
How about that?
Kind of like Santa Claus, right?
Yeah. You got the beard working. It's a little
I had a few kids ask me before. Yeah. Any relationship.
You know. There you go, man. A little bit on the red side. Yeah, we'd have to dye it white for
sure.
Right,
but, right. Give me a few years. I'll be there.
That's good. Do you think it's because you're redheaded?
Oh, man, I don't know.
That's a good question. Question. Yeah?
Yeah. You mean now, Santa Claus features, or do you mean that?
No, I mean being joyful.
Oh, man.
Is it a redhead trait?
I don't think so.
No.
Most redheads are usually pretty quick to pull the trigger.
Pretty fiery,
yeah,
right?
Pretty fiery. So, my daughter definitely is.
That's it. I thought you were going to say Megan is, and
no,
I was going to say.
No, never.
Wow. That was big. So,
oh, man.
Megs, I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
That's
She's
good.
Listened to one, I think.
Has she?
One out of
good
six.
Deal.
Ain't bad, you
so.
Know?
See, that's the thing. People need to listen just in case we call them out.
Exactly.
Because you never know.
Absolutely.
You never know when you land on the podcast. So
that's right.
That's good stuff. So, yeah, Scott is an incredibly joyful person. And if you've never met Scott's dad, I think that's probably where you get a lot of it from, your dad.
Absolutely.
Mix between your mom and your dad. That'd be good.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So. But we did. We talked about the fact that Christ in us should produce joy in our lives, that people should know us by our joy, and that as we talk about joy, as we talk about being thankful, that oftentimes we allow that to be driven by our circumstances and our situations instead of being driven by what Christ has done for us, who we are in Him. And I think it's important for us to remember that, especially as we head into this Thanksgiving season. See the Facebook posts, you know, day one,
day
I'm thankful
one,
for.
That's right.
And so if I were filling that out Saturday, I would say I'm thankful that Georgia crushed.
That's right.
Auburn.
Yeah, crushed Auburn.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. So
that's great.
I had one of our illustrious church members' sons, who's he's in third grade, I believe, came up to me after Georgia lost to Ole Miss, I believe it was, and he came up and with a little bit of trash talk in him, which he gets from his dad. I mean, I just say he gets it from his dad. But he came up and he said, "How about that game?" I was like, "Man, that is hardcore." Yeah, you know, train up your kids in the way they should go.
Absolutely.
You know? So, but anyway, I took a video after we won and sent it not to the dad but to the son and said, "How about that game?"
Now, is this father-son team? Are they Auburn? Are they?
They're Auburn fans. Okay. Yes, they are very definitely Auburn fans.
It wasn't the birthday boy yesterday, was it?
It may have been the guy that turned 40 yesterday.
Oh.
So, yep, there we go.
And
so,
he's old.
Old guy. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So all of us around the table are still in our 3-0s, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we're still in that mix. So. Good stuff. Well, we did.
Holding on.
That's right. You're holding on, right?
That's right. So, have you got your AARP card yet?
Not yet.
It's coming. It's coming.
Give it time.
So, that's good. Heartfelt prayer and thanksgiving. Adam, we are thankful that you're older than us.
That's
so,
right.
Hey, it's good stuff.
So, even if he did beat us up the wall yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think that was kind of a ploy to make him feel better about himself.
Of course, we found out later that he had a PE class in college of rock climbing.
Rock climbing, yeah. We should have disclosed that on the front end.
That's right.
That's it. That's
come
it.
In as a ringer.
That's amazing.
Take
that's
care
good.
Of
good thing we didn't put any money down on that,
yeah,
that climb. So. That's good. We finally said that an irresistible church is marked by increasing holiness. We should be looking more and more like Jesus every single day. And so as the Spirit works in us, as we bear fruit as we were intended to bear, that'll be evident of us growing into Christ-likeness. And so... I said to our church yesterday, if these four things mark us as a church, we'll have an incredible impact in this community in which God's called us to live. So, good deal. So, that was the message from this past Sunday. And again, if you missed that, you can listen to it online. So, let's see, guys. We got to talk about the election, right?
Oh, man.
Took a turn that none of us expected.
I was going to say, I almost, at the end of last episode, which was on Election Tuesday, I almost said, let's kind of go around and give our predictions of how things are going to turn out. Knowing full well, I don't think any one of us would have said we would think it would turn out the way it turned out. So... none of us, I don't think,
I was definitely surprised.
Had that thought. You know, I think there may have only been just a couple of polls that had Trump in the lead. LA Times maybe was one, and a couple of others. So outside, let's just be honest, of Donald Trump, nobody else thought Donald Trump could win.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that was really what we saw. And election coverage, the results coming in that night, you talk about folks in shock in the news media, at least. I mean, they were just beside themselves, not expecting that. So I did think it'd be helpful for us just to talk briefly about what we may think would transpire with a Donald Trump presidency and address some of those things in respect to how the church responds and how we as believers respond. So, guys, y'all want to jump in there?
I think that's the irony of this, is that I have no idea. What, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. no idea how to respond, or no idea what he's going to do.
No idea what he's going to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just, yeah, could go any direction in any particular situation. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I think, you know, for us to think about, there's a couple of things to keep in mind as we look at what transpired. One is that certainly Donald Trump, in terms of his moral character, has been in question for a pretty extended amount of time. And so that has been one of the things that that was a concern for many believers as they thought about Donald Trump as president, and many believers not voting for him. But as we saw come out in the aftermath of the polls, I believe it's 90% of evangelicals supported Trump. So evidently, in their minds, that was not a not as big of an issue for them. I still think for us, as the church, as believers, it needs to be something that we keep on the forefront of our minds, that we are being led by as a country. We'll be here in a few weeks, a morally flawed person. Now, that's not to say that all of us are not morally flawed, right?
That's right. You know? All of us are
in
the same boat.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And I think what we would recognize as probably Donald Trump's greatest need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Not saying one way, whether he has one or he doesn't, not going to pontificate upon that and try to answer that question because I don't know.
Right.
He's the only one who would know that. And yet we recognize that that for us, every single person is flawed and in need of a Savior. And so if he's not a believer, I would say for us as Christians, that should be our greatest prayer, is that through this this crucible of trying times that'll be ahead, that he would turn to the Lord. So I certainly think we're being led by a flawed candidate in that sense. I think we're also being led by a guy who is a pragmatist, one who is going to try to get things accomplished regardless of whether it makes Republicans happy or Democrats happy. I really don't think he cares that much. He made a lot of campaign promises. I have a very good suspicion will not be kept, which is typical during political season.
Right.
You know, most politicians come in, like I did when I ran for class president in fifth grade of our elementary school. Promised longer lunch periods, longer recess. Had no authority or power to be able to do that.
That's right.
But and I lost anyway. So
don't be a dum-dum.
Don't be a dum-dum. So
What was the headline today at lunch when I said, "No, what does that mean exactly?" We're sitting there eating lunch and talking about Trump, what all Trump's promised. You know, basically it means he's not going to do anything he promised.
Yeah. He was.
Like,
what was
does
it?
That mean exactly?
Revising his campaign promises like that. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Certainly.
It didn't take long, did it?
Certainly, I think we can look and watch him backpedal some on things, rearrange some of his promises, or at least the way he's going to go about trying to accomplish some of those things. So I think for us in the church, I think what I saw a lot of around predominantly white males, at least, a collective sigh of relief, and predominantly white congregations, a collective sigh of relief, because we knew with Hillary Clinton in power that most likely religious freedom was going to be under attack in some scenarios. There were going to be some issues. Abortion on demand was going to grow. The potential for partial birth abortion, she supported that. And so as she nominated Supreme Court justices and things like that in the years ahead, I think we saw the signs that was where it was going, and there was cause for concern. And I think in some sense, some have backed off and said, gosh, why do we need to even worry about
this trumps in, life's good, we just keep moving on. And I don't think that's the posture we need to take as the church. I think we need to be very concerned about some of the rhetoric that was used to get in office. You know, the Bible tells us that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, I think that when you look at Donald Trump, you see someone whose life and reputation and business was built largely on being a media figure. And I think you saw through the campaign someone who understood how to talk, how to incite, how to stir up people as a media figure. And the question now is, how will this media figure govern? And who are the people that he's going to put around himself? And how is he going to begin to form those branches of his administration? And what's that going to look like? So I don't think we're out of the woods as the church. I think we need to be vigilant to call sin, sin. I think we need to be vigilant to point out injustice where there is injustice. I think if we're not careful, we will sit back as evangelicals and think, gosh, we've got nothing now to worry about because Hillary's not president. And I think that's the very time where we can experience some tremendous issues as the church as we look at that as evangelicals. So it's going to be interesting to watch that play out in the years ahead. So any thoughts from you guys on that? Anything?
It'll be interesting.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah.
Interested to see, you know, Hall of Presidents at Disney World. How do they go from here, you know?
It'll be huge.
Yeah, that's
partially kidding. Partially kidding.
That's good. Yeah, I wonder if that would be boycotted or something. You know,
we were joking. It might be the first time ever that there's like a wait time to get into Hall of Presidents.
To be able to see it, yeah.
Because people want to get in there and like, what are they going to do with this, you know? Oh, my goodness.
Man, that's wild. Yeah, so it'll certainly be interesting. So we'll, again, call out sin where there's sin. Yeah. So stay tuned for the podcast. Be interesting over the next couple of months. So anything else in the news going on, guys?
Supermoon.
Yeah.
It's tonight, right?
Is it tonight?
I think it's tonight.
I didn't see it last night. Yeah.
No, I didn't make it out.
Like, it's the biggest moon in 7 years. Like, nah, I'd rather go to sleep. You know? Yeah,
that's it. Well, you partied hard at Disney World this weekend. True. Yeah, that's so the House of Mouse.
Pretty tight.
That's good. Well, good deal. I can't think of really anything else outside of this fabulous fountain pen that that I have sitting in front of me. So,
did you make that one?
No, I didn't make this one. I actually found this at an antique store in Savannah, Georgia, when we were on vacation this year, and picked it up and grabbed it, and it was not operational, and so I took it apart, cleaned it up, and got it all put back together. So,
cool.
So it's good, yeah.
How old is it, do you think?
This is from the late 50s.
That's cool.
Yeah, so...
That's very cool.
Once you write with a fountain pen...
That's right.
It'll transform your life. So
that's cool.
It's kind of like Jesus.
Absolutely.
It just changes your life. So
fountain of life. What'd you say?
Yeah, something like that. That's right. That's good. All right. Well, next week, what do we have on for Sunday, Scott?
Yeah.
Worship.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it. Going to be great. We're doing... I love that. I love the look he gives
that's
me.
Good.
Like, yeah, you don't know what we're doing.
What that means is he's got not a clue of what songs
we're
gonna, are coming.
We're going to sing some songs.
We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to sing... Yeah. We are doing Oh Come to the Altar.
Okay.
Which is one of my, it's not that new of a song, but it's one of my newer favorite songs off of Elevation's record that is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Question for you.
Hit me.
You say record.
But do I have the vinyl?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Do you have the vinyl?
I don't. It sounds so cool to say record.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I noticed that most.
That's the new Elevation record.
Yeah. Most.
Even though no one has vinyl anymore.
That's right. Yeah. Most artists, though, still call it their record.
Now, vinyl is making a comeback.
I have noticed
that. I haven't gotten on board yet.
Yeah.
So it's too expensive to get on board the vinyl train, man.
There you go.
It's really
So, what do you collect? Bobbleheads?
Yes. I thought you meant song-wise. I was like, MP3s?
That's good.
I do collect bobbleheads. Yeah. I don't have a great collection, but I do have a collection.
There you go.
Guitars.
Guitars. That's it. That's an expensive hobby right there.
Well, Megan now, so if I buy one, then I have to sell one. That's the bargain, the deal, you know. So
yeah.
if I get a guitar, I have to get rid of a guitar. So I'm maxed out. You know?
That's good. So tell me this. If you could get just the guitar that you have always dreamed about.
Come on.
What would that be?
You know, I don't know if it's the one I've always dreamed about.
Okay.
But I love Collings, their new hollow body electrics.
Okay.
Oh, man. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful guitars.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good deal. How much are those?
$5,000 or $6,000.
Gotcha.
Wow.
They're up there, yeah.
Yeah, that's like a small car.
Yeah, seriously.
Man,
it's
okay.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so if someone were to buy a gift for you and present you with one of those,
absolutely,
you would gladly receive it.
I'll receive it.
There you go. You know, I got you.
Recently, good. I've learned that you can go used, you know, used
okay.
guitars,
yeah.
you know, about half the price for pretty much the same product.
Sweet.
So the last,
yeah.
I think, 4 guitars I've bought have been used.
That's awesome.
I'll probably never buy a new one again.
There
so.
You go. There you go.
Yeah.
Adam, do you collect anything?
Metals?
Running shoes.
trophies, running
metals.
Shoes.
Metals.
Yeah. Those get stinky after a while and you have to throw them out.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. I got
That's
you.
Awesome.
That's good stuff.
You should have said metals, you know.
I guess I collect metals.
Yeah.
There we go.
It just sounds cool.
That I do have a lot of metals.
That's it's awesome,
yeah.
man.
I'm pretty awesome like that. Is that what you're thinking? Yeah.
It's pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Michael good. Phelps just like think three times
me.
That many medals.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. He's got nothing on me.
He's got nothing on me, man.
Did I see you on a Wheaties box one time?
At one time.
Yeah. I thought you were on there. So that's good.
And you obviously collect pens.
I like, I like to collect fountain pens and kind of got into that, I don't know, maybe a year ago.
Cool.
Yeah, so started doing that. So kind of the holy grail of fountain pens is a Mont Blanc.
Yeah? I thought it was a cigar.
Maybe. That's a different podcast.
That's a different podcast.
That's right. We talk about that
we'll
in a different
that for
podcast.
Another day.
That's good. Yeah, so a Mont Blanc is a fountain pen. They make other kind of pens too, but I actually found one on Craigslist, which I'm a little concerned I may die if I go get it.
Uh-uh.
But it's a Mont Blanc down in Venice, Florida.
No
so
way.
Yeah, so I'm thinking I may make a drive.
How much are they asking for it?
So it's used, uh-huh. and so it's on the market for about $100.
Okay.
Yeah, so not bad.
Too bad.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking a pen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I mean,
but I'm sure they hold their value. Right?
Put it in. Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. They do hold their value. So
see, that's what I always get Megan with. Like guitars really do hold their value.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah, absolutely.
And they really do. So
that's cool.
You can sell them for about what you buy for them.
That's it.
Spend for them.
So. Metals probably don't hold their value.
Maybe not as much.
Not as much.
That's it. We'll get you collecting something else here.
All right.
Stamps. You look like a stamp guy.
Stamps.
Stamp guy.
Collector.
Yeah.
Or bugs.
Bugs.
Ooh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're heading downhill, guys.
We're going the wrong direction.
So,
man.
It's good. I appreciate you tuning in. We'll look next week, sermon-wise, going into Thanksgiving season and looking at the last few chapters in the Book of Psalms. So, we'll
be
heading in
that
direction.
Is this a new series? You start a new series?
We are, yeah.
Cool.
So, just a couple of weeks, and we'll do that heading into Thanksgiving, and then we'll move from there into the Christmas season.
Awesome.
Ho, ho, ho.
Can't believe it's here, man.
Yeah, imagine that, yeah.
It snuck up on me.
That's good. So Christmas music will be blaring around the office.
That's right. Oh, come on. I do love Christmas music.
Do you?
I'm not going to lie.
All right. That's good. We'll expect some good ones during those Sundays in December. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you back next week.
Hey-o.